Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Corgis Productions presents the 2021 installment of its Summer Heat International Dance Festival. Three renowned companies come to Tulsa this weekend. The Bruce Wood Dance makes its Oklahoma debut. Nine E Chin's Dance Company makes its second appearance. But the festival opens tonight with Complexion's Contemporary Dance. Founded by choreographer Dwight Roden and dancing legend Desmond Richardson, Complexions have appeared at the world's greatest stages for dance, performing each year at New York's Joyce Theater, with appearances at the Bolshoi and Mariinsky Theaters in Russia, the Maison de la Danse in Lyon, the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion in Los Angeles, and the Grand Theater de Genève in Switzerland, to name but a few. Tonight's performance will mark the first for Complexions since the pandemic. The company will feature excerpts from works in their repertory, two works that premiered just before the shutdown, a preview excerpt from a forthcoming major new work, and their 2019 tour de force, Woke, a commentary on the daily news, touching on gun violence, racial justice, the Me Too movement, and more through exquisite motion. Dwight Roden is my guest today, who has created over 80 ballets for Complexions, as well as numerous other companies, including Alvin Ailey's American Dance Theater, where he was a principal dancer, the Dance Theater of Harlem, the Joffrey Ballet, the New York City Ballet, the San Francisco Ballet, the Mariinsky Ballet, and our own Tulsa Ballet as well. He has also directed and choreographed for TV, film, theater, and live performances, including So You Think You Can Dance, Cirque du Soleil's Zumanity, and he's choreographed and appeared in the feature film One Last Dance. You can see his work on display with Complexions Contemporary Ballet this evening at 8 o'clock at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center, and he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Dwight Roden, welcome back to Tulsa, and we look forward to seeing Complexions Contemporary Ballet. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Complexions Contemporary Ballet, a wonderful company that does such inspiring work that combines all sorts of influences in the dance, along with traditional ballet, hip-hop moves, jazz, and everything. I have to ask you, for a small company based in New York City, what has this last year been like for you?
Oh, it's been crazy because, you know, we just kind of came to a stop once, you know, everything locked down in the country, and we were just finishing our New York season. We had 16 performances in New York, and we came off the stage, and before you know it, it was just curtain down, no more performing. So this performance here in Tulsa is actually going to be our first performance back as a company live. We did some, you know, some film work over the time and a lot of digital releases online, but, you know, nothing like live performance. So really, really happy to be back and really looking forward to performing tonight.
How did you keep your company together? I mean, you know, because, you know, dancers are going to go to the four winds. There's no work.
You know,
of course, there's no work anywhere.
There was no work anywhere for us because there's no live performance. You couldn't bring people and gather them in one place. And, you know, so it was, you know, theaters were shut down and everything, as you know. The dancers, we provided them with training during that time, like online training. So we would meet virtually, periodically. And we also did some rehearsing even online, which is just crazy to try to rehearse dance through a camera, you know, where the dancers are not in the room with you. But, you know, the dancers have really stuck together for the most part. We're bringing the company, almost the full company, back for these performances here in Tulsa. So I'm thrilled. You know, they were waiting. They've been waiting to get back on that stage. So
what was it like when you first got back on stage just to begin rehearsals and to go back through some repertory because, you know, it's been a while?
Oh, yeah, we had to start over. They had to relearn, remember. I mean, you know, it didn't take that long because dancers are so smart and quick. And they have, I don't know how many ballets stored in their brains. So we went into a rehearsal period this last time in order to prepare for this tour. We went in for about 4 weeks of rehearsal. And it was just like, you could just see the joy on their faces and in their bodies as they were warming up, getting ready for the day. And it was tough too. They had to like get that stamina back up, you know, go through the paces, get the brain back tuned in. But they are ready. They are really ready. And they're, you know, bursting at the seams to get in front of an audience and perform. So,
I imagine it's the same with athletics. It's the same with music. I'm sure it's the same with dance. It's one thing to stay in shape by yourself.
Yeah.
Or, you know, working out singly. It's another thing to do it as a part of a team, as a part of a company,
right,
as a part of an ensemble.
Exactly. And you're, you know, what our day consists of is 6 hours of rehearsal. That's our typical day. They take a class before that, a technique class, an hour and a half before that. So they're not used to, you know, we all have gotten out of shape, even myself, you know, just rehearsing that long or creating for that long, you know, a 6-hour period of rehearsal is just really tough. So the stamina was mentally, physically, and even emotionally, you know, they really, you know, I think that on their way back, there were times where they felt like, oh, you know, getting in shape is tough. But, you know, you cross that mark, you know, like after a week or so in the studio, going through the paces at that kind of level, I knew they were going to make their way back. But really what they needed the most during this time was support, and also to let them understand that they can do this. It's just a matter of time. Your body's going to snap back before you know it, and your mind as well. And before they even knew it, they were, you know, running full ballets and going through the paces every day. So,
and of course, your work is very strenuous.
It's not easy.
No, I would say no choreographer ever says their work is easy, but yours is especially. I mean, it's such a movement centric piece.
There's, yeah, very physical.
Yeah, very physical.
Yeah, yeah. I think the only, you know, the one thing is with my stuff and with complexions is that you're pulling from, as you mentioned, we're pulling from so many different areas. So you have to be, you know, up to speed in your classical technique, but also musical, looking at characters, moving your body with hip hop influences, as you mentioned. And also it's kind of a, you know, it's very contemporary. There's a lot of experimentation and exploration of the upper body. So it's like body total experience. We call it the body total experience. So, like I said, very physical. And
do you think it's a little easier for your dancers because you're combining so many different styles and you're working different muscle groups at different times, as opposed to, say, if you're doing just straight ballet where you're working those lower extremities, you know, for point and which could lead to stress injuries? Or do you think it's...
I think it's all relative, you know, like once mm-hmm. Once you get into the kind of shape that you need to get into to do this contemporary ballet that is my brand, you know, once you understand what it takes, you're able to, you know, plug in all the right things to get there, you know. I would not say it's easier than classical or classical is easier than this. It's really relative. I mean, classical is tough. Straight classical ballet, there's an actual format, there's a way, and it's difficult in its own way. And the same thing happens with contemporary ballet, like the stuff that we do.
I think the beauty of your work, though, is that it combines that airy quality that we come to think from ballet, because there are moments where it's just like, it is so, you know, you have these ethereal moments.
Yeah.
Then you have what I would say that groundedness of,
yeah,
of contemporary dance where, you know, you're shaking your butt.
Yeah, we like to have fun, you know. Complexions is a company that we're not afraid to entertain you. We think that, you know, a lot of times when you come into the theater, a lot of people want to escape a bit or at least look deeper into the world we live in. And a lot of things that I like to do with the company is really, I'm inspired by the world we live in, whether it's good, the good and the bad, you know, all of the different things that are happening around us. And I try to comment on them through the works that we do and that we tour. And the dancers are, you know, and they're young. They're really, you know, these days, they're just up to speed on everything that's happening around the world. They know. They're contributing to the conversation. So it's always a pleasure to work with them. That's one reason why I love working with young people, because they have a voice, and most times they want to be heard, especially this generation. They want to be heard, you know. And so it's always, it feels good to be with them, especially when you're making something.
And this program sort of is it's a little bit of everything, I
yeah.
think, in the first half. And then
yeah.
the second half is, I think it looks like it's going to be a tour de force piece that comments on our last few years as a society. Tell me a little bit about Woke, which is the second half of this performance.
Yes. Woke was created in 2018. I think it premiered in 2019. We worked on it. It's a lot of hot button issues. It's kind of the headlines. It's everything from gun violence and our the ideas of racial equity. It looks at the Me Too movement. It takes a look at our society. It looks at capitalism. Looks at corporate greed. It looks at all these. Oh, does it sound like? Trust me, it's through a lens of. It actually doesn't make a lot of. Determinations necessarily. It just presents it and puts it, lays it down in front of you and asks the audience to take a look, and you can decide on, you know, how bad off we are or how good how good we are. Because there's also an air of optimism in the ballet as well. I don't want to give it away too much, but the piece is really, we call it like a physical representation of the Daily News.
And it is really, I've seen excerpts of it, and excerpts don't give you the whole sense of the piece, but there's some really striking moments that I've seen in this. And you have a soundtrack that is just as vital and important.
I really love the soundtrack. And, you know, it's always hard to get that. I mean, I really work hard and on music, and I know you're a musician. You get it. It's like the music, the foundation of the work, especially for contemporary ballet, if that isn't right, it's really hard to like have the piece jump off in the right way. Yeah, we have Kendrick Lamar, Lil Wayne, Logic, all rappers who are all very different. We also have some newly composed music that's in there as well. Moses Sumney, who is a wonderful sort of new singer. I don't even know what you call his category. He's kind of R&B, but he's alternative. He's his own thing. He provides a lot. And then, like I said, some other. And we also have there's a piece called Peace Piece. Very, very famous.
Bill Evans Trio.
Yeah, Bill Evans. I mean, I just love that. I've been wanting to work to that piece of music for a long time. So it's sort of weird. You have this classic jazz piano piece, and we're doing it solo piano. I don't know if it was ever done with other ways as well.
It is. You're right. There's also it's a piano, solo piano piece.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And that is a very sort of stripped away moment in the piece where we really, you know, strip it all away. We've been through it by that point, and then we kind of come to that. So it's really exciting. The soundtrack is really all over the place in terms of kind of a roller coaster ride for the audience.
As I was looking at excerpts, and I know I'm not getting the whole sense of it, but one of the things I was struck by was there was a pas de deux moment where the dancers are dancing, but there's like distance between them.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the male is holding the partner at a distance, or maybe it's the female is dancing at a distance.
They're connected, yeah,
but they're not right next to each other like you expect to see. And I thought that was interesting. Was that purposeful?
Yeah. We were working in the studio on this, and I know what you're talking about. There's a couple moments like that. And I wanted to create something, you know, I love duet work. I love creating pas de deux. And the dancers in the company right now are very good at pas de deux work. And so I just wanted to go somewhere new. And we just started playing with the idea of still being connected, but being very, very far away, which is kind of, you know, representative of what we're doing right now in the world. So, and I think it was more about the sense of being connected, but not having that immediacy that happens when you're, you know, a normal day-to-day life. So, yeah, that was fun to put together.
Yeah, and of course there are these moments, and I don't want to give too many away, but there's one that's really striking, and you use it a lot in your publicity material about this particular piece. It's again a couple they're actually not dancing because the female is down on the ground in a fetal position, while the male first is dancing, and then it looks like there's some real violence.
Some
dance violence.
Yes, yes. There's some aggression there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's also the idea of, you know, there's themes of misogyny, like, yes, you know, like really looking at that issue and looking at how we interact with one another and how we love or not love one another. And we look at harmony and disharmony throughout this work. I mean, pretty much in every section. You really, I love to, because I'm an optimist, I always present one and I have to present the other because I think it's good to look at all of it. And, you know, I have my thoughts and my judgments, but I don't judge everything except anything other than, you know, humanity. And I don't advocate anything like violence, although I present it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's the job of artists, is to, you know, reflect, be a mirror to the world that we live in. And I take it seriously, and I really, really love I love my job in that way, that I'm able to show what I think about the world, or at least be a mirror to reflect everything that's happening around us.
Now, this, as you mentioned, this piece was premiered in 2019, so it has been seen by some audiences. What's the audience reaction to this piece in
general? You know, I was always so afraid because, like I said, it's those hot button issues.
And well, you've presented it in the South, and and some places where you think, well, this is not a accepting, understanding. Kindred New York audience, maybe.
Right. You know, we've had it quite around a lot of different places. And I have to say, it's been received extremely well. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit nervous about it when it first came out and we started to do it outside of New York City. Now, in New York City, you figure, okay, they're going to get it. It's going to be fine. In LA, you know, some of the bigger cities. But then in some of the other places, in other parts of the country where political positions are different and people think differently about certain issues and have their own opinion, it still has resonated for them and the audiences have loved it. So I'm thankful because it tells me that we created a balanced piece of work that just is what art is meant to do. It riles some people up here and there, I'm not gonna lie, and that's fine. But it also presents, it's honest. It's very honest. Or I hope it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard for me to talk about it because I made it, but, you know, it has an honesty to it, or that was my intention.
My guest today is Dwight Roden. He's the founder, artistic director, and choreographer for Complexions Contemporary Ballet. Complexions Contemporary Ballet will be performing tonight at 8 o'clock at the Chapman Music Hall at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center as a part of Corgus Productions' Summer Heat International Dance Festival. They're kicking it off, and they're returning to that festival, and of course, Dwight Roden has done work for Tulsa Ballet, many ballet companies around the world, as well as his own company, which is highly regarded, really an interesting amalgam of work, which will be on display beyond Woke, which the actual performance opens with Bach 25, an excerpt from this ballet.
Yeah, so the first act of the evening are all of these very small, short excerpts from work. It's kind of like, you know, some of our pieces that are on tour in their fullness at times, but we decided to bring you just small parts. So there's like a 5-minute section from Bach 25, which was created in our 25th anniversary season a few seasons ago. We have another work called Testament, which is Amazing Grace. Everybody knows that song. Amazing Grace is kind of a classic duet, you know, another 5-minute section. There was another section, kind of new. I did it right before COVID happened.
So would this have been in the New York season?
Right before we locked down, uh-huh. Elegy, uh-huh. Which is a solo for a woman. And Elegy is what it is. It looks at loss and that sense of reverence for someone that you love that has passed away. And we're also doing a piece called Choke, which is a male duet to Vivaldi. I think it's the spring section of the Four Seasons. And what else? Oh, we're doing a preview to a piece called Gather Round, which is to Lee Rocker, which is the rockabilly guy from the Stray Cats. And then we're also ending it with, I just did a piece to Lenny Kravitz, a suite to Lenny Kravitz, and we're bringing 1 5-minute section called Riding on the Wings of My Lord, which no one has heard Lenny sing this kind of music. It's raw a cappella. It's very different. And so that's the first act. So as you can see, we're going from Lenny Kravitz to Bach. I mean.
Well, so let me ask you about Bach 25. Is it more of a ballet piece? Or would you say it's very much in your style? It's
very neoclassical. It is not on point. Uh-huh. So the ladies are in flat shoes, but it is very neoclassical, and it was just a piece. Bach is my favorite composer to choreograph to. You can hand me any piece of Bach, and I'm going to go run off and do it because I just love this man's music.
Well, you think of it, it's such a mathematical, and it, you know,
it, I maybe mean, that's it, it.
You know, it is. It's well, there's a lot of math in Bach, and I also think of it as being something that has to be, you know, very straightforward.
Yeah.
And I think of your style as being so flowing. I'm really interested to see what that's going to look like.
Oh, I wish you could see the whole thing. Well, at some point, Bach 25 is about a 32-minute work on its own, but of course we're doing these 5 minutes. And this first section that we're doing is actually his son,
C.P.E. Bach.
C.P.E. Yeah. Bach, yes. Yeah. So that was the one piece of music that I kind of threw in there. But it's very, as you know, C.P.E. is very influenced by Johann Sebastian. So it's it's very mathematical. It's precise. It's it flows too, though. You know, it really does, and rhythmical. Mm-hmm. Bach, I find a lot of rhythm in Bach.
And the next piece, Testament, I have seen a bit of that.
Yeah.
And again, it's a pas de deux. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting is this is a rubato choir singing Amazing Grace. And everything that Bach is, this piece is the exact opposite, you know?
Yeah.
It's passion. It's, you know, and yet what I see in your choreography is this amazing movement, and then these little stop pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I call them, you know, they're just stop points.
Yeah.
Where everything comes to a stop for just a moment, and then it's back to movement again.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting take on that music. It would be the last thing I would think somebody would choreograph, but it works.
Well, thank you. I Amazing Grace is something that I grew up with in church and in various times in my life, and it's a kind of a classic piece, and I just felt the need to really kind of go the opposite way, because the voices are so, there's this choral, you know, these I don't know, I think there's four voices singing all at the same, mm-hmm. and they're so blended so beautifully, and, you know, but I wanted to bring a sense of tension and, you know, strength, but also vulnerability within that, and so it's become a classic piece. It's been around a while, and We don't seem to be able to get it off the stage, and I'm okay with that.
Well, I was going to mention those little stop points. It's interesting because the movement stops for just a moment, but the poses that mm-hmm. you stop your dancers in are so interesting. They're architectural, but
yeah,
like there's one where the lady's leg is out,
mm-hmm.
but it has the most unusual angle to the way it is out.
Yeah,
it's almost like you're creating geometric forms in those little stop moments.
And I'm hoping that a lot of those stop moments, I know exactly what you're talking about, creates the sense of, like, sums up, you know, the ideas that are in this, you know, 4-minute pas de deux, you know, and it does deal with faith and devotion. It does deal with those themes. And there's a, you know, there's a real sort of, I know I say physical a lot, but it's also, there's not a combative nature, but there's a sense of trying to unite throughout this piece in their body. They're trying to find their unity.
There's one moment where it looks like the roles switch, where the woman is holding
the man.
He's doing the pas de deux things.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to support him. So yes. There's that sense too. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a really beautiful piece. You're only going to do a small excerpt from Love Rocks, and I think what I've seen from Love Rocks might not be what's going to be performed on the piece, but it looks like an amazing piece.
Yeah, I mean, next time, you know, this was coming out of COVID. We had to sort of decide on what was coming back first, and Woke made the cut first,
yeah.
in terms of the big ballet fullness.
Right.
I can't wait to get Love Rocks back on the stage in its fullness, but what we're doing for you guys tonight here in Tulsa is sort of a very unlikely a cappella, gritty. It might even, you hear him, I think he's banging on the side of a guitar. So you do hear him, you do hear that rhythm, but the rest of it is his vocals. And like I say, you've never really heard Lenny in this way. This is not, it's released, but it's released on a sort of a making of sort of album. It's not like one of his hits. Riding on the Wings of My Lord. And I was just drawn to it because I just love the way he sounds. And I thought it was a great moment to insert into this rock and roll piece in its fullness. But that's what we're going to show you guys.
So here. So what is it that attracts you to choreographing? Because in this course of this evening, we're going to hear hip hop, rap, Bach, a gospel. We're hearing Beethoven, Vivaldi, Lenny Kravitz, and then Lee Rocker, the new piece that's coming along.
Rockabilly?
Yeah, rockabilly. What is it that attracts you to a piece that speaks to you, says, I have to create dance to this?
Well, you know, I mean, my entire intention as an artist is to create a space where different things can coexist in one place, sending a very, very simple message of unity. So these are things that you would not think could work under one roof, in one performance, with one set of dancers. And I believe it can. And I'm attracted to contrasts, to be quite frank. I love the antithesis. I like to use one thing and go into the other. I'm attracted to good music, good stories, incredible lyrics. A lot of people don't like to choreograph to lyrics, but I do. Mm-hmm. I'm careful about how and what, but I love good music. I mean, and I think this program has some really great music. You've got Bach, you've got Beethoven, Moonlight Sonata. I mean, that's one of the greatest pieces of music. I mean, give me a break. That's just incredible. And I love Kendrick Lamar, Moses Sumney, some of these new voices that are here today. I love to be able to hear what these young artists have to say with their music. And, you know, Bach and Beethoven were the rock stars of their time. So, and, you know, I want to make sure we don't forget, we will never forget about them. But I like to make sure that under the Complexions roof, we still hear the history and where things started. And I just love great music.
This new piece, Gather Round, which I assume it's still coming together in its mm-hmm. full length, and you're just showing us a section.
Well, we did this is a preview, and we got permission to actually, so it's a very short little pas de deux, but we got permission to bring it to Tulsa because we are commissioning a whole ballet to this rockabilly soundtrack of Lee Rocker, who is an amazing musician, fantastic guy, and so generous with his work and loves dance. So that will be happening in 2022 in its fullness. But at this particular point, we are just presenting this one little duet.
Yeah.
When Nothing's Going Right, that's the name of the song. I'll just say this. It says, when nothing's going right, go left. It's a fun one.
Yeah. I guess this sort of answers my last question, which is, you know, as much as you had to get your dancers back into shape, you had to get back through the repertory to get the Complexions, you know, performing again. I would think it would be the same sort of process for you as a choreographer, but it sounds like you just jump right back into the saddle and you're going away.
It wasn't that easy, to be honest, because I've actually been doing some creations outside of. I had a commission for the San Francisco Ballet, which is an incredibly beautiful company, and this is my second piece for them, and I had to go out and start something. It has not come onto stage yet, but I began, mm-hmm. and it was tough to get back in the studio and produce at that level and at that rate when we're used to going, you know? So I had to get back in shape too, my mind and my thoughts and the stories I wanted to tell within the work. So it's been a journey. I'm feeling really strong again and ready, but it was a journey.
All right, you can see Complexions Contemporary Dance as a part of the Summer Heat International Dance Festival with their main piece, Woke, as well as some selections from past seasons and a preview of coming attractions, I guess, new premieres.
Yeah.
That's tonight at 8 at the Chapman Music Hall. Dwight, it's a pleasure to speak with you again.
Thanks for having me.
Dwight Roden is the co-founder and co-artistic director of Complexions Contemporary Ballet, where he is the resident choreographer. He's created over 80 ballets for Complexions, and you can see some of them this evening as a part of their first appearance since the pandemic as a part of Corgus Productions' Summer Heat International Dance Festival. They'll be performing tonight at 8 o'clock at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center's Chapman Music Hall. For information and tickets, visit corgus.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.